Elizabeth Elliot says, Hollywood's notion of love is millions of miles from the slightest comprehension of what the love of God is all about. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of Quest for Love and Love Has a Price Tag. Jan Wismer gets our discussion started today.
Valerie, you were reared in a Christian home and were taught Christian values and had them displayed before you. But what kind of a commitment did you yourself make to Jesus Christ, and how did that come about?
After my mother and stepfather got married, we moved to Massachusetts. And before Massachusetts, I had never been with other peers who were Christians and who were studying the Bible. When we moved to Massachusetts, we'd only been in the house about 1 week, a lovely, laughing, happy girl came to the door and invited me to a Bible study. She was about a year older than I. And I remember being overwhelmed by her joy and her love for life and her desire to have me come to a Bible study. I'd never been in any youth groups before, any groups where there are kids my age studying the Bible. So I did start to go to her youth group. I also, after my sophomore year in high school, got to go to a wonderful conference for teenagers. It was called New Wilmington Missionary Conference in New Wilmington, Pennsylvania. My stepfather was speaking at it, and he had urged me to go to it. And I remember, because of the speakers there, feeling that I needed to make my own personal commitment to Jesus Christ then, and realizing my need of a daily walk with him and my need of reading the Bible. My mother, of course, had always taught me to trust in the Lord, and I feel like I always did, but it came closer to home when I went to that conference. And I remember starting to read the Bible and trying to keep a journal. I knew that my mother and father had always kept a journal, and I started sporadically through high school doing that. And then my stepfather died the beginning of the second year at Wheaton. So I was 18. I went to Wheaton when I was 17. And when he was dying of cancer, during my freshman year, my mother told me that he had cancer. And during a period of about 9 months, he got worse and worse. And I remember beginning to pray that the Lord would heal him. And I prayed expectantly. I began to demand of the Lord that he heal him. And I really believed that the Lord would. And during that summer, he had had his radiation chemotherapy, and he was at home before he died. We didn't know how long, much longer he was going to live. So I remember going in once a day to talk to him, and maybe once a day. I don't know if I went in that often, but I remember always trying to encourage him to believe that the Lord would heal him. And he usually had a pessimistic view of the whole thing and expected to die. And so the day before I was going to leave for Wheaton, I went in to say goodbye to him. And I said, Daddy, I know you're going to be healed the next time I see you. And he said, no, he didn't think he would be. So I left for Wheaton. It took 2 days to drive out there. And the night that I arrived, my mother called and said he had died. And I remember immediately feeling the peace of the Lord, knowing that the Lord was in charge of what happened to my daddy, and realizing that I had really demanded of God something that was selfish, and realizing that the Lord knew what he was doing with him, and that if the Lord wanted him home, that was the perfect answer to our prayers. And I think that was a big lesson or big step for me in believing in the sovereignty of God.
She had also fasted, too. Do you remember that? Toward the probably about the last week or so of that summer, Val told the Lord that she was not going to eat lunch again until her father was healed.
That's right. I had forgotten that. Yeah.
And I talked to her about faith. I remember sitting on the sofa in the living room and saying, Val, how strong is this faith that you have? And she would have defined faith, I suppose, as the expectation that God was going to do a particular thing. And I tried then to encourage her to realize that true faith has to be founded on the character of God, not on a particular outcome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I felt very peaceful after he died and was not upset that God hadn't answered my prayer. I just knew then that God had answered my prayer in the way he knew best. And I was thankful. It was at the same, probably the week or two after that, that I finally was able to talk to that boy again that we had gone out to school together and had never talked. And he told me, this was another step, I think, in my growth, because he told me that he didn't see any hope of us getting back together. And the more he talked, the more I realized, well, this was not the kind of young man that I wanted to marry. So I was thankful that the Lord weaned me away from my stepfather and having to have him be healed. And also he weaned me away from having to have this boy all my freshman year, thinking that I was going to get back together with him. Mm-hmm. But the Lord showed me that there was probably somebody else out there.
Elizabeth, how were you praying for Valerie during these years concerning a life's mate?
I think I had prayed more or less all her life that if God wanted her to marry, that he would be preparing the man for her in a Christian home, and that prayer certainly was answered. Walt grew up in a strong Christian home. They were missionaries, too, and I suppose we can get into some of Walt's life later on, but he was one of those people who decided he didn't want everything that his parents had in the way of religion and quite deliberately chose not to follow in their footsteps, but God brought him back again. My prayer has always been for Val, and still is, and for my grandchildren, that God will dispose of them according to his will. When I say dispose of, I mean do with them the very best.
Now that we've brought Walt into the picture, let's back up a little bit and go to the beginning. How did you meet your husband, Valerie?
The very first time I met him, my stepfather was still alive. He came over to our house in Hamilton, Massachusetts, to talk to my mother about what it would be like living at our house. My mother had asked up at the seminary, Gordon Conwell Seminary, for a boarder, and somebody had suggested to her that she talk to Walt Shepherd. So Walt came over to the house, and I was in the living room with my mother and him when she started talking to him about his responsibilities in the house. She had hoped that he could come and help her with my stepfather, not knowing how long my stepfather would live.
What were your first impressions of Walt, Elizabeth?
Very courteous, very warm and compassionate, and terribly good-looking.
I'd have to agree with that. So, did you think anything twice about this fellow that had come over that particular day, Valerie?
I noticed his good looks and his warmth. I think I noticed that. And then I went to school almost a few days after that. I didn't see him again until Christmas time. But during that fall, my mother wrote to me, and she wrote glowing reports of Walt and what an angel he was to her. After actually the day that Walt was to move in was the day that my stepfather died. And so my mother decided to go ahead and have Walt as a boarder. And my mother writes wonderful letters, so she wrote to me weekly, and almost weekly she was mentioning how helpful Walt was and what a courteous, wonderful young man he was. So I got a little bit interested in him, although because I'd just been, had just broken off finally this relationship with this other guy, I was a little bit timid and afraid of getting to know anybody else, you know, seriously. But when I came home for Christmas, I think he swept me off my feet then, because he was there for a week before he went home. And we got to talking one afternoon or evening while I was doing some ironing in the kitchen, and he was polishing his loafers, and he asked me if I had something to polish, and so I gave him my loafers to polish, and we must have ironed and polished for about 3 hours.
Those shoes never got such a shine.
They really got polished. So I really enjoyed talking to him, and went to Urbana 73 right after Christmas, and I remember telling some friends about him that I'd just gotten to know him and that I was really interested in him.
His interest had certainly been growing in Valerie, even though he'd only seen her that one evening, but I noticed that he was always wanting to know if I'd had any letters that day, and if there were letters from Val, he wanted to know how she was, so he was excited about her coming home for Christmas. They overlapped for 1 week before he left for Christmas vacation. She had come home the week before, so they had about a week to get acquainted.
And where did things go from there?
Well, I was very impressed with the fact that he called my mother on her birthday. Her birthday is the 21st of December. And from New Orleans, he called to just wish her a happy birthday. And I got to talk to him for just a minute there, and I was all fluttery and excited about that. After that, I came home for a short Easter vacation for about 4 days, and there were about two nights there that we had gone out with the family. Walt had gone with us, and that night, those two nights, we stayed up till about 3 a.m. just talking, just enjoying one another's presence and conversation, and he asked me then if he could write to me when I went back to Wheaton, and I said, sure, you may, and he wrote me one letter. Never heard from him again until I saw him the next fall. So every day I would go to the, I went to school, summer school that summer at Wheaton, and every day I went to the mailbox hoping for a letter, but didn't receive another one.
What about on your end? Did you just answer that one letter then?
Yes, I just wrote to him, answered that one letter, and didn't feel that I should write him anymore. It was during that summer that my mother came out to Wheaton to speak, and it just so happened that Walt's parents were going to be in Wheaton the very same weekend or week because they were on their way to the Lausanne World Evangelization Conference. They were stopping in Chicago, so Walt knew that my mother was going to be there, and so he wanted his parents to meet my mother and to meet me. So his parents invited my mother and me out for a dinner.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.